Welcome to the Hong Kong Football Podcast. I'm Jonathan White, and as ever, I'm with Dr. Tobias Sousa. Toby, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Johnny?
Fantastic, fantastic. You know, a lot to get through today, and I'm excited. If you're looking for the too long didn't listen of this podcast, kitschy one, season's over, new one next year. But other than that, stay for the rest of it. It's going to be great. Start with a fun fact, eh?
Yeah, we have a lot of fun facts prepared for today. It's becoming more like a quarterly Hong Kong football podcast now. But at least we have now a lot to talk about for today. We can weave in our fun facts along the way. But of course, the news to start with is how the league went, how the season went in Hong Kong. Hong Kong Premier League came to an end in early May with, we would kind of say, an expected winner. Kitschy getting the title and also winning the treble. But it was much more exciting than I think anyone would have expected beforehand. Both of us went to the Kitschy Liman game, the last match of the season. What do you still remember from that game?
Well, I think the first thing to remember is the fact that it was the hottest ticket in town. Like, Hong Kong football felt like it was of interest and relevance again. I don't know how much of that is because people were told they needed to buy a ticket and it was going to be hard to get one. So, you know, that really played into the FOMO aspect that I think is quite prevalent in any event organising in Hong Kong. You can't go, it's impossible. I want to be there, I must be there. So it was packed down at the Mongkok and it was all set up for what would have been an upset if you're not a Kitschy fan. But it didn't work out that way. But the game, Liman went ahead and we all had a chance to dream. But as ever, dreams were snuffed out by the boys in blue.
Yeah, and twice so, right? So there were like moments in the game where Liman were, for a few minutes at least, the champions of the Hong Kong Premier League. Especially then with the 2-1, I think it happened 15 minutes before the end of the match. It looked very much that Liman had the greater momentum and were in control, but it just took a few minutes and Kitschy equalized, and a draw was enough for Kitschy to win the Premier League. It was a very tough game in terms of emotions. You could really tell that players on both sides were really invested in it. We had also very interesting send-offs, red cards, for what turned out to be Hong Kong's two best players of the season, Kitschy's Mingasov and also Liman's Everton. Both got sent off eventually in that game, which I think also tells you a lot about how fierce the battle was. But it was, I think, a very entertaining and great end to the season. I think a lot of people in the stadium wanted Liman to win, just to have this upset and have this unexpected outcome. But at the end of the day, I think it's still fair that Kitschy are the best team of the season. They were also the most consistent, but still very nice that we actually had a certain degree of excitement until the very last day.
Yeah, like you say, it was very positive that it went down to the wire, that there was something to play for on the last day, that it wasn't a procession for Kitschy. It was nervy. It was tense. I think that fed into the excitement of the crowd as well. And like you say, it did feel, certainly where we were sat, not in the Kitschy cohort that people wanted Liman to win, but absolute scenes, as they say, limbs everywhere when Andy Russell headed in the equaliser. And a sickener for Liman because they'd just gone ahead. The goal was so quick to tie it up. You know, they'd been running down the concourse with a flag, and then it was Kitschy's to hoardings all over. Yeah, great. A good advert for the local game. Shame there can't be more of that.
Yeah, an emotional roller coaster. And as you said, there can't be more of that, because just 1 week later, I was still so pumped with very high expectations about that final match that I hoped for a similar outcome at the FA Cup final between Kitschy and Rangers, but things went a little bit too one-sided in the end. Kitschy won that game 7-1.
That's quite one-sided.
Yes, slightly one-sided. We didn't have a repeat moment of this emotional roller coaster. It kind of peaked in the fifth minute and then that was it. But yeah, that meant that Kitchy won the treble. Rangers were quite disappointed and also apologized afterwards.
No, a bit of a shame. Disappointing day out for Rangers fans, which seems to be a thing for Rangers, either here or the real Rangers that inspired them. Still, you've got to think it's a good season for Rangers to get to the cup final. They've got to be pretty happy with that. The league table doesn't lie, as the old adage goes, and Kitchy and Lee Mann are out at the top of that. But to get to a cup final, that's sort of what you want to be doing if you're in the middle of that or the lower reaches of that. That is a good outcome for your season, even if it's disappointing once you get there. You know, Rangers have had a good season. Who else, aside from Kitchy, do you think has had a good season?
To briefly mention here, Salvan as well, right? Salvan District, 1 week after the FA Cup final, they were in the Suppling Cup final against Lee Mann, and they won that game 2-0, which was a quite historic moment for Salvan. I think for many years we have been talking about Salvan being in the mix for at least some kind of silverware. And finally, that paid off. It was the first ever top-tier silverware for Salvan District. For Lee Mann, of course, big disappointment that they didn't even win that Suppling Cup. Yeah, this also brings us a bit to this discussion of how well did that season go for Lee Mann. Of course, they ended up being still in the mix for the title to the very last match day. But then in the end, they failed to win any trophy. I think that also resulted very early on into the sacking of Chen Huming as the head coach. After this, actually, things looked a little bit better again with results on the pitch for Lee Mann. But I'm not sure how happy they are about that previous season and what would be the goals for the coming season, if it would be at least one piece of silverware that they want to win. Your impression on that, Lee Mann? Disappointment or not?
I think it depends where you're taking them in their journey. If you're a fan, you're going to be disappointed because you were 10, 15 minutes away from winning the league. You know, you're a game away from winning some silverware, and any silverware is nice. That's what everyone's playing for, really. But it's definitely another step in the right direction. Like, this was a very strong Kitchy team this year, and they've ran them all the way. Like, with a bit of recruitment and, you know, players being a year on in their journey, like learning from this season, they're going to have a good tilt at the title next season. Kiss of death there. Apologies already, Lee Mann fans, for next season. But it seems like they're on the way up. So I think it depends if you want to be glass half full or glass half empty, or throw the glass out the window because you're fuming because you missed out on silverware.
So you're the glass half full guy?
Apparently. Come as a shock to me.
Yeah, me too. What happened?
Depends what's in the glass, doesn't it? I think glass half full, Lee Mann are on the up. And yeah, like, it's all about challenging Kitchy, and he's done that. Do you want to focus on winning the Suppling Cup, or do you want to go all out for the league? Probably they were spread a little bit too thin in the end. And maybe the disappointment of missing out on the league fed into not winning the Suppling Cup, you know? Probably going to be a bit deflated if you were so close to winning. But I think definitely positives for next season. Southern, you know, congrats. Finally, they can have an open top bus parade because they've got easy access to buses. So that's good. And I think also, while we're being positive, you know, Lee Mann, Southern, Kitchy, great seasons. And a great season for HPFC, who more than held their own.
Yeah, that definitely was out of expectation, I would say. HKFC finished sixth. And still, like, given the fact, right, that the majority of the players are amateurs or semi-professional, depending how you want to call it, and that they have been struggling in the past to compete on that high level, this season you couldn't really see that difference anymore. And I think that was very impressive. They had some great results, some great upsets, some great goals, as we have talked about previously, which were then also recognized eventually in the Player of the Year awards. We can come to this in a moment. I also want to mention here, of course, Rangers, because they still had a very great season, I think, exceeding expectations. They finished third in the league. They were a mixed bag, but still, I think, very successful season. And also as a team, right? I mean, they do have some veteran players. Lam Kawai and Lo Kwan Yee, they just extended the contracts for another season. And also fan favorite Lam Hin Ting, who is now, I think, 23 years of age, also was recognized as being among the best midfielders of that season. And yeah, he also got a lot of praise as well, justified so, for his performance over that year. So hopefully Rangers can stay on the same track for the coming season. And both with veterans on the team and also very young players that can grow, seems to be a good system right now.
Yeah, they're on a positive path, which probably can't be said for Eastern.
Yeah, Eastern are just not what they used to be anymore. So I think quite far away from competing on the top. To be fair, they made it into one final, into the Senior Shield final earlier this year. But you get this impression that they are not all in anymore. And I mean, here particularly the owners, the people that invest in the club, they definitely have other priorities at the moment. It was to be expected that they might not have a great season with the cuts in budget that they were also facing and the players that they signed. But yeah, it's a bit of a shame to have them not anymore as competitive as they used to be. And then of course, right, we have the rest of the table, so to say. Taipo, disappointing, finishing seventh, and also not sure yet if they are going to survive, if they can put up the necessary budget for next season or not. They were talking about maybe relegating voluntarily, which sounds like a very bad deja vu. Resources Capital, finishing eighth, I think that's a bit disappointing, definitely for them. Still a likable team in the way that they are doing the marketing, in the way that they were drawing crowds as well. I'm not sure you have noticed this, but on the very last match day, Resources Capital, they were flying in Taiwanese cheerleaders, the Rakuten girls. And there are rumors that this was the reason why Kitchy wanted to push the kickoff from originally, I think it was 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. for the Kitchy-Liman game. Because also the Resources Capital game was a very quick sellout because of those cheerleaders from a Taiwanese baseball team. I think they're still quite thinking out of the box and trying to bring something new to the league, which can still be, I think, appreciated. For Sham Shui Po and Hong Kong Under 23, it was more of a season to forget.
Well, I think they need to think long and hard whether they want to be playing football in the Hong Kong Premier League. We'll come to this later, but it depends on other factors as to whether they'll be needed. You know, how many teams are going to be in the Premier League next season? What's the right amount of teams? It's fair to say that the Hong Kong Under 23 team was there to make up the numbers. Like, that is literally why they were put together, to make sure there was enough teams in the division. If there's enough teams in the division without them, should they be playing in the top flight? Is that the right thing for those players, you know, for them to get better? Should the team be lower down the pyramid? Yeah, questions to be asked at the HKFA, I think, about that. And Sham Shui Po will leave them to it, you know. They can find their own mirror to look into without the help of the HKFA board. Well, that's the bad news out the way. And a fun fact, yeah, get your cheerleaders down at RCFC next season. What about the awards?
Yeah, we had the Hong Kong Top Footballer Awards. I think this is how it is called. And Player of the Year was Ruslan Mingasov for Kitchy, who had a very successful season, I think, joint top goal scorer with 17 goals. There have also been some discussions about the format of these awards and how it's not reflecting often other people's perception of the season, like some people that were obviously missing from that list who had a very significant contribution in that season. Of course, the one person especially missing here would be Dejan Damjanovic, which is a bit strange because he was eventually also the top goal scorer of the season, considering all the goals across like different competitions. We have also, I think, some noteworthy awards. As I've previously mentioned, Lam Hin Ting from Rangers was among the three best midfielders of that season, along with Mikael and Clayton from Kitchy. Besides Mingasov, who was also named best forward next to Everton and Sun Minghin.
So the best 11 was rounded out by Yap Hung Fai, in goal, who else is it ever going to be? Defenders, Kim Min-kyu, Rangers, Gabriel at Taipo, Helio at Kitchi, Soman Kitt at Lee Man. So if you look through that 11, you've got two Eastern players, you've got two Rangers players, a Taipo player, and two Lee Man players, and only four Kitchi players, is that right? Which seems, of an 11, weighted oddly. Coach of the Year, Roberto at Eastern. Young Players of the Year, Sun Myhin and Anson Wong at Eastern. So Eastern, very heavily represented, despite having a disappointing season by their own, you know, estimations and sort of previous high bar, if you will. And then, obviously, the elephant in the room is the top scorer across all competitions being completely absent. So it's a weird one, but these awards are always weird ones, I guess. I think it's probably fair in some ways that it is so odd that that reflects Hong Kong football to a degree. But it's quite a large spread. Eastern, Rangers, Taipo, Kitchi, Lee Man. What, half of the teams are represented. So that's something. Like, probably the most important of the awards is the player's favourite, which we can call Player's Player of the Year. Philip Chan at Resources Capital. There's another team in the mix, so that's six. And then, if you go to fans' favourite, Freddie Toomer at Hong Kong Football Club, that's seven teams represented. If I was running these awards, you know, I'd pat myself on the back for so many teams being in the mix. Like, Sham Shui Po are missing, Hong Kong Under-23 are missing. Other than that, it's a pretty, pretty good representation across the board. Well, congrats to everyone.
The Hong Kong Football Podcast comes out every 2 weeks, dropping on each second Wednesday. Make sure you never miss our latest show by subscribing on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podcast Addict, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
So, next season's ACL, slightly different. What are the changes, Toby?
AFC has been tweaking this format for some years, so every season is a bit of a surprise. What we know for sure, what's happening in the 2023-2024 season of the Asian Champions League would be that Kitchi have their group stage spot. I do believe it's actually the last season where Hong Kong has this privilege. In the near future, Hong Kong is likely missing out on this because it will be, again, a competition that favors the bigger member associations. Apart from Kitchi, Rangers and Lee Man will also make it into the preliminary round of the playoff. Rangers are going to play against Haiphong from Vietnam, and Lee Man are going to play against Bali United. So if you have at least one away match that you want to visit this year, then I would recommend you to visit Lee Man versus Bali United. They will play both an away and a home leg, apparently, on August 8th and August 15th. More details to be announced. But yeah, this is what to expect. But then don't get too comfortable with this format, because starting from 2025, all of this will look very differently once again.
When it becomes essentially a Super League.
Right.
All the big countries get their teams in it every year. You're right about it being a little bit unlikely that they'll make it, because if they go through those first round of games, Rangers play Incheon and Lee Man will face Urawa Red Diamonds. So that's a big ask for both of them. But hopefully they can overcome Bali United, which is a top away. And you know what? If you can't make it to Indonesia, get yourself to Vietnam for Rangers against Hong Kong. Yeah, it's a shame that probably the best trip of the season is done in August. Or is it the best trip of the season, Toby? Looking ahead to early next year, maybe the Asian Cup's the best trip of the season.
Probably it is. Well, at least I don't have a choice. I already booked my ticket to the Middle East. So yeah, I'm planning on at least seeing two of the three group stage games. So in early May, we had the draw for the Asian Cup, and finally know the group for Hong Kong that they will play in January 2024 in Qatar. The opponents are Iran, UAE, and Palestine. So what's your first reaction to that group?
Difficult, but I think whoever had come out of the pot, it would have been difficult. What we were looking for was interesting, and I don't think we've necessarily got that. You know, everyone had a dream group picking from one team from each pot. It would have been nice to see China come out of one of those pots or South Korea. But no, it's like Iran, who should be comfortable winners, UAE, who you'd expect to win, and Palestine, who'd be a good game, a real test of where Hong Kong are at. But if Hong Kong didn't win, you wouldn't be surprised. So yeah, not the most exciting of draws. It's very West Asian.
Which is usually quite difficult for Hong Kong. They are often also seen as maybe the most difficult to overcome in any kind of World Cup qualifiers, Asian Cup qualifiers. Iran, as we know, we played against in 2019. Hong Kong did actually quite well in the home game. I think just losing 2-0 to Iran, which was already seen as quite of a big of an achievement at the time. But they also had a different coach back then, and also kind of a different playing style, where it was very defensive. It really quite interesting what Jørn Andersen has in mind, how to play against a team like Iran, which on that level, we didn't really have yet an opponent in the last few years. Of course, you could think about the EAFF Cup, but it wouldn't be very often the really first team of Japan or South Korea that you would be up against. Yeah, it would be interesting how defensive Hong Kong would play against a team like Iran, because we haven't seen this approach yet under Andersen a lot, whose contract, by the way, has just been extended for another 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, as you said, right, the game where Hong Kong has something to play for would be the last game against Palestine. So they will play the first game actually against UAE on January 14th, and then play the second game against Iran on January 19th, and then the third game against Palestine on January 23rd. Even though this is a very difficult group, if you're in the Asian Cup, of course your goal should be to qualify for the round of 16. No matter, like, you know, how realistic that might be, you are there to achieve something. Now, because the Asian Cup has been extended to 24 teams, that means there is a way to qualify for the round of 16 as the third of the group. And that makes it quite interesting, because that gives both Palestine and Hong Kong something to play for. And it could also mean that they might have a more rational strategy against teams like Iran and UAE, where it's basically about damage control in order to have a okay goal difference eventually. But then they actually have something to play for in the third game, which is really exciting, right? So how many of the third place teams will go to the next round?
So it should be the four best third place teams go through, which if you get 3 points and a tidy goal difference, that should see you through.
The Palestine game, I think, is the one that people really should be looking forward to, and there's definitely something to play for. After all, however, and this is also what I said to Gol Besan, the podcast about Iranian football, Hong Kong has nothing to lose. Even against a team like Iran and UAE, yeah, everyone, you know, expects them to lose. And I think there's not much pressure on them in these games. So, of course, I think the odds are against them. But then at the same time, you just do what you do. And then if you're lucky, maybe it works out for a draw. And that would already be like a big boost and a big achievement. So, yeah, maybe that helps a bit, that there is not really any pressure on the team in that competition.
Sure. Well, we'll see in these coming days how Hong Kong are progressing. They've got Vietnam and Thailand, both which will be difficult games, good teams, probably not the standard of Iran, but still a good test for the Hong Kong side. Away to Vietnam on June the 15th, home to Thailand on June the 19th at Hong Kong Stadium. I'm sure tickets are still available, unless someone has said they're sold out and then they'll be impossible to get. But, you know, this will be a good chance to see where Hong Kong are at.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is also now the right way to go, like looking for stronger opponents ahead of the Asian Cup. And Thailand and Vietnam are definitely very good tests for them. Will be very tough games, but this is exactly what Hong Kong needs now. We also have already seen the announcement of the team squad for these games. Anything that stood out for you?
As ever, it seems like there's loads of defenders. That's what always stands out to me. Like, Hong Kong's long-term problem has been goals. And it seems like they're getting better at this under Anderson. It seems a different vibe than under Mixu Patalainen. Like, that felt very reactive football. And now it's a bit more front foot, I think. But you look at a squad and it seems half defenders. And I know that's inaccurate, but that's what the squad announcement looks like. It's like defenders down one side, midfielders less, forwards and goalkeepers fitted in the same amount. But other than that, like, I don't know, what did you think? Like, it's not massively different from last time, is it?
Yeah, it's not too much different. Of course, we have the goalkeeper Paulo Sesa, who is missing this time, but it might give actually other goalkeepers a chance. We haven't actually seen Yipong Fei back in goal for a while, so maybe he will be number one once again, or a chance will be given to take a wing on Leung Hin Kit. I think local fans have been a bit upset that Lam Hin Ting, the midfielder from Rangers, has been left out again. And as you said, right, the forward position is the most critical one for Hong Kong. Of course, Mohammad Awal has been called up again, and Matthew Orr, very importantly, who plays in China League One and also scored a couple of goals already this season for Guangxi. At the same time, Jørn Andersen and the Hong Kong FA trying quite hard to get additional strength in the front. So at the latest training camp, two players were seen training with the team. That was Michael Udebulusor, who is currently playing for FC Ingolstadt under 19 team in Germany. So he is in the process of getting the Hong Kong passport. And even though he's still quite young, that might be a very important and good addition for the future. Apparently also Antoine Vitarale, not sure if I pronounce this correctly, French-Italian with Hong Kong connection as well, who has grown up in Hong Kong, has also been called up. We have been hearing his name for quite a while, but for some reason it never really materialized for him to come to Hong Kong. He's currently playing in the 6th French division, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, he's not like a top-level player, and maybe also the coach still needs to figure out if there's a place for him in the team or not. And there are also two more Hong Kong Premier League players that are about to get their local passports. And these are Everton Camargo and Stefan Pereira. So that could add some striking power as well, hopefully at least ahead of the Asian Cup. They won't be with the team now in June, but hopefully then by autumn this will be sorted out.
You'd think those two would go straight into the squad as well, given their, you know, track record in the Hong Kong Premier League.
Right, absolutely. Everton Camargo, joint top scorer as well this season. So that would definitely help, to say the least.
I think it's very positive that they're inviting players who are not yet eligible but could be to training camps to have a look at them to see if this is going to be worth pursuing. You know, who's available if you cast the net a bit wider?
In the past, the Hong Kong FA always seemed a bit reactive instead of proactive. So this definitely is a good change and also something that they should be doing.
Yeah. If you saw the squad announcement, it says assemble an attack, and they've obviously been assembling if they're having a look at people. So let's hope they do the attacking when they get to play Vietnam and Thailand. Move on. Right. So final part of this bumper, massive, mega wrap-up of the season. Ups and downs, not just promotion and relegation, but highs and lows of the season. We'll start with what we trailed before to keep everyone listening. The Dejan Damjanovic situation. Probably the biggest low point of the season in some ways.
Yeah, that ended very strangely and very badly. Dejan Damjanovic, as many know, the legendary striker who has an amazing track record in Asian football, played for Beijing Guoan, for FC Seoul, most successful goal scorer in the Asian Champions League, and basically wanted to see out his career at Kitchi for the last two seasons. Had also great contributions to Kitchi during COVID for all the ACL campaigns. And things, however, turned sour with the team after December last year. So at that time, Dejan went back on holiday to Europe, and apparently this was not approved by the club. So the club issued a fine, and then there was a disagreement about that fine and the sum of that fine. And Dejan was then also removed from match team squads. Also at the final match between Lehmann and Kitchy, Dejan was only sitting on the stands. He was also not on the bench for that game. Just the dispute was never really resolved throughout the season, and Dejan wasn't also not playing any games anymore. A few days ago, Dejan also announced via his Instagram that Kitchy might still be owing him some money, some bonuses from the championship title and from the previous ACL campaign that have not been paid.
There's two sides to every story though, isn't there?
Absolutely. Did Kitchy respond to it eventually?
I think Kitchy said, here's where you're wrong. We've told your lawyer. Bonuses were discretionary. You're talking about a season before. We already paid them. We're not giving you any more money. Good day. That seemed to be the long and short of the response. So I don't know where that leaves us. It certainly leaves us without probably the best player over the last, what, 2 or 3 years. One of the best signings has been in Hong Kong in a long time. An all-round sort of positive influence on the football ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really put a good light on Hong Kong football after all. But yeah, tell us something new.
Yeah, what does? Yeah, well, we're on low points. Happy Valley.
Happy Valley is at it again. Famous for the match-fixing scandal in 2014. Happy Valley have faced another investigation by the ICAC, the anti-corruption agency in Hong Kong, for alleged match-fixing that has happened over the last year or even 2 years. So this investigation has been going on for quite a while. And apparently quite a few players and also coaches may have been involved in this. Of course, there has been some talk already, right, that match fixing in the lower divisions is quite common, given that there's less oversight. There is also maybe more motives to manipulate games because of either no payment or very low payments that players would get in amateur or semi-professional capacity. And there might have also been other teams involved in that. But yeah, it is, of course, a very big blow for the integrity of local football. But at the same time, I would also say there is a bit of greater awareness. I mean, this time it was not really, you know, based on a whistleblower, but there seemed to have been early awareness and then an investigation into this, where we had incognito investigators from the ICAC visiting games to collect possible evidence. At least, I mean, you have the feeling there is something done about it. But of course, match fixing is still an issue that is not ideal for the growth and the development and the integrity of the league.
Certainly not. Not when you think that, you know, these are teams playing that can go up into the Hong Kong Premier League, which is the, you know, the benchmark of local football. I think, like you've said, it is interesting that the ICAC were so on top of it. What seemed interesting to me was the number of people that they said worked on the case, which was like, I don't know, 60, 70 over time. Like at some point in Happy Valley games, it must have been that most of the people watching were investigating it rather than watching the football.
Yeah, probably. Manipulating and investigating.
Yeah, if you are in the match-fixing game, if you see the crowd start to swell into the tens, you can probably assume that they're investigating rather than everyone's there to watch the football. But it's sad, and it's sad that it's Happy Valley again. It's a bit of a shame, literally a shame. But we should move on, because I'm sure there'll be another match-fixing scandal in years to come. The gift that keeps on giving. And, you know, there's probably little that can be done about it until, you know, the game is making enough money for people where, you know, there's less of an incentive. I don't know if this is a positive or a negative, but VAR didn't make it. We were promised VAR. It didn't come. It's going to come. We've been promised that. Watch out. Yeah, I guess we'll see with that, positive or negative, in times to come. Definitely going to be interesting how they manage to do it. But what is a positive? North District, Toby.
Yes, North District. Another district team is ready to join the Hong Kong Premier League, and they are currently preparing to get promoted. There were talks about this possibility in the previous years as well, because they were quite ambitious with their team already in the first division. But in Hong Kong, right, it doesn't really depend on if you are ready in terms of your sporting achievements, but if you're ready financially, and then you can make it work to get to the Hong Kong Premier League. The thing that is still a bit odd, however, is we don't know yet if that means a team of the Hong Kong Premier League is going to disappear or is dissolving or is voluntary relegating. But as of now, North District coming up, it would mean we have 11 teams in Hong Kong Premier League, which of course is not ideal. We have had similar situations before, so it's not unheard of, but we don't know if this promotion will leave us with 11 or 10 teams after all. But it will be the first time for North District to be in the top tier, and that also means we have a new North-South derby between North District that are playing very close to Shengshui funding area and Southern District that play in Aberdeen. So if you are keen on doing a 40 kilometers journey one way, then here you go.
You'd probably combine it with a hike, a great Hong Kong day out. Yeah. 11 teams, like you say, that wouldn't be ideal, not just because it'd be 11, which would be weird, but given that the AFC Asian Cup is taking place and there'll be a break in December in the league, probably to let the representative team get together to give it their best shot. And there'll be three FIFA breaks with World Cup qualifiers in. 11 teams would mean more rounds of fixtures to stick into a league that already looks like it's going to start earlier than previously.
Right. They need to start probably already in August to make it work because of the long breaks and the Asian Cups and the preparation for the Asian Cup. So yeah, we expect an earlier start than usual. Of course, not a deal with the weather, but that also doesn't give them too long of a time to prepare or too long of a time to decide or not if they want to be or not be in the Hong Kong Premier League. So I think should be decided quite soon if they are going to have 10 or 11 teams next season.
And if the league's going to start in August, that means that the Sapling Cup has probably already started by the time you listen to this.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah, so enjoy this season, which was next season, but it's already now. So, well, that wraps up this season, which is last season now, if we're in the future. What was your moment of the season, Toby?
My moment of the season, it was, to be honest, the very last match between Kitchi and Liman. Having a sold-out Hong Kong Premier League game is something that I think the league really needed, and I would take that any time again. So I hope we have something similar again in the next season. How about you? What was your moment?
No, I think you're right. Moment of the season, definitely the final game there in the league. And lots of positives. I think good time for the Hong Kong Premier League, you know, Hong Kong under 23, notwithstanding. And also a good time for the representative team. Couple of games on the way and then an exciting Asian Cup. So, yeah, two thumbs up for Hong Kong football.
Right. And another season wrapped up for the Hong Kong Football Podcast. I guess we see you again, or we hear you again in 3 months from now.
Yeah, the quarterly podcast. Maybe we can go to once every 6 months.
They'll give you all about what's happening in the coming season. Of course, we will then also talk about the upcoming Asian Cup. Looking forward to it, actually. That's it. So let's wrap it up. Thanks a lot, Johnny, for hosting once again.
Thank you, Toby. And thank you for listening if you got this far.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's a place for you.